You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Now, Don, I'm just sorry, I cut that off a bit early there. So the doc is going to ring in shortly. So I'm just letting people who listen to this podcast know that we're about to have three different people turn up Did while you? The doc's speaking to us. Just a minute, Don. And so if I suddenly have to speak
Come
to them
on,
off,
hurry up.
I have to speak to them off microphone. You could speak to them while I tell them what's going on, all right?
Now, listen, I've just heard there were podcast awards last week in Melbourne or wherever.
Did we win?
No, did you nominate this podcast?
What, so that we could give people the impression that we're relevant?
It might have been like the Logies. We could have got dressed up in it. You're a Logie winner, aren't you?
Yeah. We could have done the red carpet.
Well, we could have done the dinner suit.
And Phoebe could have interviewed us. She does that now. She
organises the red carpet?
She organises guests on the red carpet. What would you have said to Phoebe if she said, hello, here's Don Scott from the very successful podcast, You Cannot Be Serious,
No, she
Don.
Would have said that.
That's what I'm saying. She would have said, here's Don Scott from the very successful podcast, You Cannot Be Serious. Don, welcome to the red carpet. How are you feeling?
Oh, I hate these fucking awards. They're stupid. Well, why are you here, Don? Oh, I don't know. I was told to come. Well, do you enjoy doing it? Not at all.
She
no, I got to
get
up.
She would not be asking questions at this stage. She would be giggling.
Giggling?
Yeah, she giggles a lot. Oh, you are funny, she says.
Oh, so do men giggle? Were you just saying this is
Fiona,
a woman's thing,
yes,
are you?
Yes, Phoebe would be giggling.
Okay. Holy mackerel.
Jeez, you can't handle pressure, can you? You've got guests coming out of your
ward. Well, you handle it.
Where's our mate Ben? Get him on the phone,
well,
please.
Well, he's going to ring in. He rings in now. He should be ringing in now.
Here's Ian Cook. He's in trouble. He's got to get to that electoral office for the counting. We want to know what's going on there. He's been a very busy man under extreme pressure.
Right. Now, this is your chance now to just carry this while I'm telling
Where are you off to?
I'm telling Ian.
Ian has just left us.
Where'd he go? He's gone to the Kazi. What's he going to drop some kids off at the pool? What's he doing? He just walked in, walked straight past us, fresh air to us. Now, Don. The doc is meant to be ringing in. Why hasn't he rung in?
His birthday yesterday.
Did he ring in last week? Did he ring in last week, or have I got the wrong date?
Anyway, all I got back was I said happy birthday, you know. Happy birthday.
I've got this for him. Look,
Anya. Listen. What does Anya mean?
Good. Here he is.
Anya.
Now, hang on. Wait a minute. Just a minute. Just a minute. Doc. Hang on. I answered that. Doc.
Doc. I haven't got him.
Doc.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is.
Doc, can you hear us?
No, I can't.
No, Doc. Doc.
Yeah.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Hang on a minute. Just a minute. Just a minute. Oh, that was meant to be happy birthday. Hang on. I can't get it.
What the hell is that?
It's his birthday, you said. Isn't that his birthday?
Yesterday.
Well, he wasn't on yesterday, Don.
Well, I sent him birthday wishes, Doc. And all I got back was a Anya. O-N-Y-A.
Means what is good on you, you dumbass.
Anya.
Good on you. Hey, Doc.
Hey, boys.
Sorry about all this. Well, happy birthday, Doc.
Thank you very much. 46 years of age yesterday, and yeah, I'm getting a bit emotional as I get a bit older, I'm finding. Do you guys find that? Your emotions start to play tricks on you?
Well, not really. You're just getting in contact with the female side of your persona.
Now what?
Yeah, well, possibly. I don't know. I found myself on my birthday. All of a sudden, it's been 3 years since I lost my dad, and all of a sudden on my birthday now, I can't stop thinking about him. So I think on the other 364 days of the year, I don't kind of sit around dwelling on the loss of my old man, but on my birthday now, all of a sudden I get a bit melancholy and I start thinking, oh, you know, he's missed out on this and he's missed out on that and, you know, my kid's growing up and all of that. And then I think to myself, hang on, it's your birthday, you idiot. You're supposed to be happy. What are you doing?
Now, I think that's very relevant.
We've had a convergence. This is the importance we place on you. You are taking priority, but we've had a convergence of guests arrive. Ian Cook is sitting next to us from iCook Foods, who stood against Dan Andrews. He is, say hello to Dr. Fordham. Ian, his name's Ben.
Ian Cook, can I just say to you, Mr. Cook, congratulations for being so courageous and for putting yourself forward for office and taking on Dan Andrews. We've followed your case here in New South Wales, as people have right around Australia, and I just think it required a lot of courage to be able to step up to the plate. Very few people put their hand up to be elected to office, whether it be local government, state government, or national government, and you did it. Obviously, you're taking on not only a sitting member, but also a premier. But to be able to do it, I think you shone a real light on your case and your cause, and a lot of those votes that came your way were people who were protesting against the treatment of iCook Foods.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. That's very kind of you.
Ben.
Ian.
Yes.
Ben.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ben.
Yeah,
Doc. They call me Doc. Call him. Yeah, call me Doc. Yeah. I don't know why.
He's Don's psychoanalyst, so call him the Doc.
Okay, no worries.
So Ian was scheduled to come in here but got caught up in the traffic, so he is joining in this conversation, and maybe he could tell you, Doc, we killed two birds with one stone. He was challenging the election results. Tell us why, Ian.
Okay, so we had our scrutineers came back in, and there was a whole heap of irregularities, things that should have happened that didn't happen. There was that. Also, the VEC, in their wisdom, decided on election night to just nominate the two front-running candidates as being Andrews and the Liberal candidate, Michael Piastrino. So I outpolled the Liberals in 17 of 20 booths in Mulgrave, but because of the way they did it, effectively my primary votes were then distributed, and a lot of them went to Andrews because I picked up a lot of Labor votes that put me one, Daniel Andrews two. They should never have gone to Andrews. They should have stayed with me. Now, we don't know and haven't been shown that they've actually turned around and done it properly. We do know that when Daniel Andrews gave his victory speech, at that point in time, the VEC was reporting that only 8% of his vote had been counted, or of the vote in Mulgrave had been counted, which means you had a premier giving a victory speech when he, at that point in time, didn't know whether he had won his seat or not. And still, right now, as we speak, the votes haven't been counted. There's still something like 18,000 votes.
Mr. Cook, do you know how many votes you received?
The VEC is reporting me to have received about 5,000 primary votes at the moment. That would indicate that when I'm standing on a polling booth, that only 1 in 10 people would say they're going to vote for me. I can tell you that is absolute rubbish. I did the whole of the pre-poll. So it was 12 days, three 12-hour days. The rest were 9-hour days. I was there the whole time. And I promise you, 1 in 3 people came up to me and said, Ian, we're voting for you. Not just because of iCook Foods and our treatment, but because we were shining a light on the corruption of this government.
But don't underestimate, don't dismiss that there are thousands of people who put your name as number one when they were voting. And I think that, you know, regardless of what might happen on a on a challenge or a recount or anything else. I mean, 5,000 is no small number when it comes to a political novice in yourself, having never done this before, putting up your hand. There's a lot of people out there who were protesting against your treatment. So regardless of what happens in the future, I think you can hold your head up high.
Now Doc, so this leads on to the fact that I want your opinion on this. Your premier is, as I understand it, Dominic Perrottet.
Dominic Perrottet.
Sorry about that. Dominic.
That's all right.
So if you saw a number plate on a car up there before a state election that said Dom, D-O-M, Dom out, that is six letters, mm-hmm. Dom out, would you say that's offensive, or the New South Wales Road Authority, whatever they're called, could ask you to take that off your car? Because as you might be aware, there was a number plate asked to be removed off a car here that said Dan out, and we just could not understand how anyone can find that offensive, or if you found it offensive, how in this day of free speech or this democracy we live in, how you could possibly... That's not even rude. It just says Dan out. Do you think that's fair?
No, of course. I mean, they're just a few letters on a number plate. That's all it is. And if it was such a big deal, if it was against the rules, then it would have been knocked back at the time of the number plate being registered or applied for. So, I mean, that's because someone has got their knickers in a knot and complained about it, and they've decided, righto, we're going to take the number plate away.
But maybe this is the whole thing about what's going on. Maybe it's the Andrews team have said, oh no, we must take that off, and they've bent over and complied.
Oh look, I wouldn't expect that the Andrews team would be getting too worked up about one number plate. I mean, God, you'd have to be driving around a lot of places to get it in front of people. But look, I mean, it just seems overreach from whoever's decided to get rid of it. And again, if it was a problem now, it should have been a problem then. There's no good going around later on and deciding we're going to tell people that you're not allowed to have Dan out or Dom out or Sam out or anything else.
Now, while Ian Cook is sitting here, Ian wanted to come in and explain what's going on, because Don couldn't explain it to me when we were on earlier, so we're getting it from the man himself. And another man has just turned up that you might like to speak to when we can get a free microphone, and that's the budding thespian, Shane Crawford, has arrived in the podcast.
Oh.
And we went and saw Shane be the pharaoh at Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, Don and I and Phoebe, and we're going to chat to him about it, and you might like to ask him some questions. But while Ian's here, is there anything else, Ian, that we could possibly speak about that's going on?
No, I think, like, we've covered why we asked for a recount, and we needed to and we just need that to be done. Now, that's not to say that Andrews won't win. The chances are he probably will get over the line. However,
justice needs to be not only seen to be done, but it needs to be done.
Correct. The other thing that needs to be done is they need to find the people of Victoria need to know the percentages, because the numbers that we've got, the way it looks for us at the moment, is he may win, but he's going to win on a very, very tight margin, and it's going to mean that the seat of Mulgrave is now a marginal seat. So the people that worked with me, the whole team that were there, they have turned a safe Labor seat into a marginal seat. So, you know, you got to be proud of that.
Ian, you stood at the polling booths and whatever else. I have a complaint.
Don't forget we got the doc on the line.
Okay.
That's all right.
Ian, there's a lack of information that comes forward at the polls as to the number of candidates. You had a lot of independents standing where you are, and I would say, as I was, not informed of their pros and cons, because I'd never seen them until I got the handout paper. And the other thing is, anything being done, I saw and I admitted to voting, Sac Dan party in the Senate. Now, they tell me that's a bogus party.
And all the preferences go to Andrews.
Yeah, that was said. Well, Glenn Jury set that up. That's in the upper house. Yeah, he admitted on camera, you know, that when he was filmed, to actually setting up this.
Is there any law that can stop this? Because we don't get any information,
Don,
as a voter. I'd take that on its value. Sack Dan.
You know, Don, we do have laws. It's cool. Because that... the setting that up is fraudulent, right? That's under the Crimes Act. That's just blatant fraud.
So, Doc, what do you make of all this? Do you think what do you make of Ian Cook challenging, maybe not to beat Dan Andrews, but this is how the political process should advance, isn't it, or not?
I think the reality is that most of the time these challenges fail, and that's just stating the obvious. Ian would know that from his own experience. I say again, I think Ian should hold his head up high based on the 5,000 plus votes that he received, and I'm not privy to what's gone on behind the scenes or the basis of any such challenge, but I'd hold your head up high knowing that 5,000 plus people went in and put your name down as number one. I think it's a great achievement.
Ian, is there anything else you'd...
Well, it's more than 5,000. There's more than 5,000 votes here. I see you're up to nearly 40. If it comes there's nearly 40,000 votes.
At about 11:30 on Saturday night, the VEC changed a whole bunch of numbers, and basically on a two-candidate preferred basis, I shot up to 40% of the vote, so which is substantial. But I'll probably have to pop back in and have a chat with you next week.
Yes.
When do you think
this will be finalised?
We don't know. They were rechecking the pre-poll votes in the polling booth in Mulgrave, where we did most of the pre-poll was done there. There is still something like 18,000 votes that we're not sure where they are.
Okay, so this is where we are at the minute, and if there's any update on this, Ian, because we've been on this for 3 years with you, if there's any update on this, just come in again, and unless there's one final thing you'd like to say, we've got Shane Crawford has just walked in, Doc, and I've got a question to ask you about the lass you're married to, Jodie.
Okay.
Well, can I just, as we say goodbye to Mr. Cook, can I just say this about Shane Crawford? I think my views on Shane Crawford are widely known, but this is one of the great Australians, and this man has not only succeeded on the sporting field and also in the business environment and big time as far as charity, raising millions of dollars for worthy causes, but again, the courage required to step outside one's comfort zone and think, I'm going to get up on the stage and I'm going to perform in front of hundreds or thousands of people in Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. I mean, what a living legend this man is, Shane Crawford. And I'm just thrilled that he's part of the podcast today.
Well, you're going to get a chance to speak to him in a minute because, Ian, are you okay?
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Hang on. Just before Ian goes...
Look, thank you very much, guys, for having me again. It's always a privilege to come and talk to you. Could I just say to anyone listening to this podcast who supports us and supported us, particularly through this election campaign in Mulgrave, thank you very much.
Yep.
We did it for you, and we did it for the people of Victoria.
And keep the books open.
Well said.
Might be more to come. Thank you, mate. Shane, thank you, Ian. Until we can get the other microphone working, Don, we're on limited broadcasting.
Well, this microphone's working here.
Your broadcast,
Ben. What I can do, while you guys segue between Mr. Cook and Mr. Crawford, I can just sing some Christmas music here for a moment. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Shane Crawford, ladies and gentlemen, good morning.
Ben Fordham, hello. How are you?
Buddy, I'm so proud of you, mate, and I just hate the fact that I can't get to Melbourne to watch you live on stage. I've seen you...
Why not?
..on the sporting stage before. I've seen you hosting Ninja Warrior. But, mate, what's it like? Tell me, how nervous were you the first time you got up there?
I've never been more nervous in my life just because it's a bit different for me. So, and you know that you just got a job to do and you obviously have to sing with that. So, yes, never been more nervous in my life, Ben. But I tell you what, Sam, I used to obviously work with Ben doing Ninja Warrior. He decides to leave, so then they shut the show off. No longer on Channel 9, it's gone. Ben Fordham out. Nah, we're not continuing on. Are they going to bring it back at some stage?
Oh, mate, I don't know. But, mate, can I just ask? And then I'm going to leave you guys to chat away with Crawl.
No, I want to speak to you. I've got another thing to speak about.
No, you'd be mad. No, you've got Crawl there.
He's got other things to do. He doesn't want to speak to us.
I want to leave you with Crawl, and I'll come back in 2 weeks for a final chat of the year. But
ask
Crawl,
the question.
Know
what
this.
Is it, Sam? Ask the question, quick.
I want to know this. Crawl. I want to know this.
Help me, Ben. Help me.
Why? Not why are you hanging out with these lunatics, but why did you decide to do this?
Because it made me nervous and it made me excited. And, yeah, it's probably the only job I've had for a while that I thought, oh, that's definitely making me jump out of bed and, live life a bit. So, I was definitely up for the challenge, although you keep doubting yourself and you don't know whether or not you can do the job that's needed to be done.
But where did it come from, though? Where did it come from? Did someone approach you, or were you having a thought about it one day? Because some of the ideas are born in our own head and then other ideas come from someone else. Like, what was the genesis of the whole thing?
No, it was the question was asked whether or not I'd go to an audition, one in Sydney or come down to Melbourne. And then I was like, oh, that's quite exciting. And then I got scared off. So I stayed away, and then I did an online audition a week and a half later. The question was asked again. So
but you're not giving the true story. Your talents were recognised by the producers,
John,
when you appeared in Kinky Boots, wasn't it?
John, just a minute. We got the doc. We want to ask the doc. We'll speak to Shane in a minute.
No.
Ask the question. What do you got
for me? I've got another one for you.
No. Come on, Sam.
I'm receiving a message right now from a top Hollywood producer who's wondering whether you would do an online audition or, better still, in person in his hotel room. Harvey Weinstein wants to get in touch with you.
In jail?
Yeah. I thought you were going to say Baz,
Lorman. Lorman.
Lorman
or something.
I want to. Don't
you're losing control of this, Johnny. No. You're losing control.
No, he's losing control. Now, I'll tell you what, Sam, I'm making an editorial decision here. I want to hear more from Crawf. You know, I listen to these podcasts all the time.
Hey, Ben.
So you're going to talk to Crawf, and I'll be listening to this when I get home.
No, Ben, guess what I asked? I asked Don and Sam after the show.
Shut the fuck up, will you?
I asked them after the show, what was the highlight of the show? And they both said, we love the lighting. Can you believe that?
No, you've got to appreciate it.
Doc,
lunatics.
You can't be serious.
I'll turn you both off in a minute.
Oh,
now, Doc,
don't listen to me, Doc. Don't tell
us. I'm going.
I want to ask you a question.
Love you. Bye.
What was the question?
Yeah.
Ask Don the question.
Yes. He lost control.
Ask Don the question so we can understand the question.
I wanted to ask Don, you simple-minded fuckwit. The doctor comes on every fortnight and we like to ask him some questions.
What was your question?
Yeah, you didn't
tell us what the question was.
Do you know why I didn't ask him?
Why?
Because you and this clown here kept interrupting.
No, we didn't.
And he said,
what about the clowness over here?
And he said, and the doc said, he wants to hear more from Shane. I said, well, Doc, I was going to say, if you just shut up for a minute, we will ask Shane all the questions that you've asked that we were going to ask.
Yeah, but you missed the opportunity. You're better than that.
Because you are not here to be interviewed while the doc is.
Don the question, pretending to be Ben Ford.
All right.
Let's see what answer we get.
All right. So, Don, you pretend you're the doc.
Ben.
So, Don, pretend. shut up, Shane. So, Don. Pretend you're the doc, right?
We just said that.
Doc, what did the bride, Jody, give you?
Yes, I was just going to go home and see the bride. I'm renewing my vows. We're going on a trip together.
What did you say?
But he didn't ask the question.
Oh, he hasn't asked the question. Well, Ben doesn't wait for the answer. He'll just go off on his own little tangent.
Pretend you're the doc. And I was going to ask him, because you kept interrupting, you two, I was going to say, what did the bride, Jody, give you... Yes, you said it. I haven't asked you the fucking question. What doctor did the bride give you for your birthday?
Well, Sam, there's got to be a little bit of discretion here. I just can't tell you, but that's just between Jody and I.
Make it up, Don. He gave me some socks and a handkerchief,
you idiot.
A book to read and say, make it up, mate. I'm having an interview that I didn't have with the doc. I'm having it with you now, pretending you're the doc.
It's just something between Jody and I. We reviewed our vows.
Reviewed them.
we got married again for the umpteenth time, and we're going to do it again.
I know. I know.
Next week.
Fair dinkum. I had several questions to ask.
She's booked the chapel.
I was going to ask him. I've done a bit of research on Jody. Did you know that she was an exchange student in the Paris Institute of Political Studies? I was going to ask her, what in the hell?
What's she doing with Ben?
And
where did you get that information?
Yes.
Well, off the old Google machine. I said we were going to do some research on young Jody.
I'd like to see your search file. Just where you've gone.
And I was going to ask the doc, how does Jody pronounce the letter H? Does she say?
Oh.
And because she went to a Catholic school, I think, called St. Angelo Mercy College.
Where's that at?
It's in Timbuktu.
Well,
it's
it could be
Sydney.
Toowoomba.
Well, it's in Sydney, I think. And I was going to say, because everyone says that if you're Catholic, you say H. And I say, H has got nothing to do with religion. It's just wrong.
What are you?
What I say?
What religion
I
are you?
I say H. What?
So that distinguishes your religion. What are you?
It doesn't. That's my point, Don, if you listen. Religion's got nothing to do how you pronounce that word. That letter, rather. And so anyhow, the doc, so he... And I was going to ask him about what's the captain of Australia called? Matt?
What? Bill.
No, Matt...
Bill Cummings.
Matt Cummings. Is it?
Pat.
What's his name? Pat. Pat Cummings, going to ask him about taking a knee at the national anthem. What in the hell is all that about? Why doesn't he get sacked on the spot? And I was going
You've been doing that all morning, you Asperger's.
I was going to ask the doc his opinion.
Get off.
Because people who listen to this like the doc's opinion rather than your circumspect opinion where your brain is in a nutshell. They like his opinion about the world that we live in.
Well, we've got Shane here who's a very learned and... cultured man. Ask him his opinion.
Now we're getting off the dock now, and now we're moving on to Shane, and we've got Phoebe here, who is... I've got a feeling... I'm not sure if that microphone works, Phoebe, but we've got it up on sound alert. So speak into it.
Hello.
You mean you've turned it on, not sound alert.
Sound alert.
If Rod Law was here, we wouldn't have this problem.
So are we wrapping up this episode and then jumping into Shane?
Well, why don't we do that?
Yeah, it sounds like a good idea.
Fucking hell. I tell you what, then just before we wrap it up, because we're not doing any more after we've spoken to Shane, let's just cover the topics that we wanted to finish, and then we're going to speak to Shane. Because the doc's asked half the questions I was going to ask him, but we'll have better questions. Not better questions, we'll have different questions.
We'll have more intimate questions because we actually went to the show.
Have you got anything else? Yeah, we did. Have you got anything else you'd like to speak about while we're on this, Don?
Well, I was just intrigued. I got an email. Well, were you interested in what's happening at Hawthorn?
With regard
to the election?
Yes. What's happened?
You'd be interested in this, Shane. Andrew Gowers, who's standing for president, has sent out a text or a tweet or an email asking for money to be sent to his campaign. He wants to engage a professional PR firm because he's accusing the club of...
Are you reading this?
No, I'm just... Well, I'm trying to get all the information
Look,
out of this database.
You can't even fucking read, Don.
Anyway, he wants money for his campaign. He wants people to contribute. Now, I rang up this... I went into my bank. I've got the BSB number. It's a national bank in Kew, but they wouldn't tell me who the account is. This could be a sham. Where is the money going?
You think Andrew Gowers...
Well, how do you know it's Andrew Gowers that's written the thing?
It's a scam.
Well, then, Don, we asked him to come on the podcast and he said he wouldn't come on.
We could have asked him
all these questions.
Well,
he's your friend, Don.
He's not. You were his ruck coach.
You said to me...
How did you play him? He was on the wing.
Don, Fiona, I feel so sorry for you.
You rang me up one day, Don, and you said, hey, why don't we get Andrew Gowers on? I said, Don, why don't you ask him? No, you ask him. him. So I texted him and he said, yes, he'd like to play
golf. No, he'd like to play golf with you.
I just said he'd like to play golf with me. And then I said, well, I'd like to play golf with you too, but why don't you come on the podcast? He said, no, I won't be coming on the podcast. And then you rang me and said, oh, I see he's done an interview in The Age. So I texted him again. I said, I see you've done an interview in The Age, Andrew. What about doing an interview with us? He said, no. And you said, and then you rang me again for the 48th time. And you said, he's gone, wants fucking money and he won't come on the podcast. And I said, oh, well, I'll get into, I'm not, that's it, Don. So if he won't come on, you can send him money. What have you written something here for me?
Note. I'm sending you letters
what
now.
What time do you need to leave to get the Shane needs to leave. Right, Shane needs to leave. What's the time?
No, I'm good.
Right,
I'm
well, good. Well, now, Don, that's it. We're wrapping up now. Don.
I want to know why you didn't play golf with Andrew Gowers. Aren't you allowed to go to Royal Melbourne?
I want to know why you
You've been blackballed from Royal Melbourne. That's your problem. Oh, yeah, well, he applied for...
Black band? Black ball.
Well, put a black ball in. That means you can't...
play? Turn up?
Well, no. When you become a member. I think he applied for membership to Royal Melbourne. And all you need is one member to say no and you don't get in.
Oh,
well, so you drop a black ball in... In the thing.
Anonymous?
Yes, anonymous.
Oh, that's weak.
And that's why he won't play it.
Would you like me to give you a list of 100 people who have been declined membership at most clubs?
Give me.
Because of their... I'll give you a list of 100 people. Because of where they work, who they are, what they do. They don't like certain people
well,
in
do you know the
industries.
Jewish community set up their own golf club? They were blackballed from a lot of established golf clubs. They set up Amstel out at Cranbourne.
Did they, Don?
Far-sighted. They've just sold Amstel for $150 million.
Well, isn't that extraordinary?
And that's going back into the Jewish community.
Who owned it.
The Jewish
that's,
community.
That's what they say. They're very good at doing all those sort of things. They're not, and that's not anti-Semitic, but they are the money people. And that's not anti-Semitic.
But also golf clubs have relaxed their restrictions and actually a lot of them are going to Huntingdale.
So why didn't they want Jewish people being members?
Well, it's
Don?
Just like the Melbourne club, isn't it?
I don't know. Why didn't they want Jewish people being
well,
members?
Well, you tell me.
No, you're doing it.
No,
you
I don't understand. I do not understand right, all well, of this. You just accept it. People for what they are.
Righto,
you're a prick and I accept you.
.com. Okay, well, now we're winding this up and we're going to get Shane and I'm going to just ask some Shane's questions with Phoebe here, hoping the microphone works. So here we go. Just stand by.
Because you ain't treating me right. Come back again.